I love that video. I was going to try and just write down all of the stats and say it myself, but I knew that I wouldn't be able to deliver it the way that he did.
You have no sensation.
This is, as you can see, Dr. Mark Batterson from National Community Church. Would highly recommend you listening to his podcast. Every week he delivers just some top-tier insights. Also, he's a prolific author, and if you have a chance, pick up one of his books because he does a great job of articulating and helping us to see the big and the small of the things that God has done for us. There are, like he said in the video, there are millions of miracles happening around us at any given time, and every single one of them is an opportunity for us to give thanks. This week we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, and it's a time for family, for food, and for reflecting on the blessings that God has given us. It's nice to set aside a day to give thanks because, let's be honest, for a lot of us, it's hard to remember to do it. It's hard day in and day out to remember to say thank you because there's problems in life that comes up. There's things that happen that just get you on edge. You don't feel thankful in that moment. Or maybe it's a comparison thing. You see somebody online on social media that they're doing a good job with their kids, or they just got to go on another vacation, or they have this and that. And you start comparing yourself. Look at them. They're reading right now. They're so wise. You start comparing yourself to them, and it saps your gratitude, doesn't it? Another one is entitlement, this feeling that I deserve something, that thing should be given to me, that I should have whatever it is. And I have this sense of entitlement inside of me. Maybe it's because I worked for a long time and I always kept my nose clean, and now at the end I deserve a reward because of the faithfulness that I've shown. Or maybe it's you're just starting out and you don't know any better, and so you just assume the entire world should be handed to you. Entitlement is a poison that drains our gratitude. Another one is busyness. Just you're trying to make it from point A to point B to point C to point D, and you're so busy that you have a hard time remembering to say thank you. All of these things are reasons that we need a day like Thanksgiving. We need a time that we can set aside to remember, to think, to stop and say, God, thank you for everything that you've done for me. But I'm convinced that if gratitude isn't a practice in your daily life, if it's not something that you do often, then when you get to a day like Thanksgiving, you oftentimes forget. You don't even think about traveling through the Milky Way and you know, all of the millions of capillaries and, you know, whatever, all the things that he said, and hemoglobin, right? And you don't even think about things like hemoglobin, and yet every single one of those is a miracle. As we've been reading through the Bible this week, doing our Bible recap reading plan, we've gotten into some pretty interesting chapters. And this week, as I was thinking about gratitude, thinking about what God wanted me to share this morning, he showed me a few different passages that just reminded the disciples of times when they needed to be grateful for different things happening in their life. So we're going to start things off today by turning to James chapter 1. We're going to bounce around quite a bit. Don't worry if you can't keep up. We'll have all the scriptures on the screen behind me. But go ahead and grab your Bible. We're going to turn to James chapter 1. So our big picture for today then is a little different than a lot of weeks. We're gonna focus on giving thanks because God has turned our trials into triumphs, our bondage into freedom, and because he has invited us into his family. Our first point today is that we give thanks because praise is an act of defiant faith. We give thanks because praise is an act of defiant faith. James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And all God's people said amen. Amen. Man, it's challenging, isn't it? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, that should cause us to stop and pause and ask the question, why would we be joyful during hard times? What is it about hard times that should make us glad? Why would he even suggest being happy, being joyful during hard times? It's because there's got to be some sort of a strength that gets you through this. Imagine, if you will, looking at this mountain in your life, looking at the problem in front of you, the thing that is daunting you, the thing that threatens to crash around you, and just smiling. Imagine what it looks like to be standing in front of a giant and you've got a big old grin on your face. And that's the type of faith that James is talking about here. It's this faith that says, man, you giant, you sure are big, but I know somebody that's bigger. I know somebody that without a thought, I know somebody that created you, the ground that you're standing on, the solar system that you're living in. I know somebody that created all of it. And so you just smile and you look at the trial and you say, man, this is an opportunity for me to have joy, not because of the trial. Obviously, nobody likes it when something's breathing down your throat. Nobody likes that pressure and that feeling. But when you get there and you can say to the trial, I know a God. My dad is bigger than your dad, right? I know somebody that can beat you up. I know somebody that can take you out. And so it's almost like we get this idea in our heads that I come across this tough time, but I understand that I'm going through it. I'm not stopping in it. That there's something on the other side of that hard time, that because of God and because of his love for me, I can get through all of the things that I'm going through. Verse 3 says it like this. It says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work in you so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. In other words, what he's saying here is that my pain has a purpose. The thing that I'm going through is leading me to be more like Jesus. And in that, I can rejoice. Amen? Amen. So we give thanks because We give thanks because praise is an act of defiant faith. When we come before our trials and we choose to praise God, it's almost like Paul and Silas. We read about that this week as well in Acts 16. We don't have time to turn there right now. But Paul and Silas are in a certain city. They're preaching the gospel. They're telling people about Jesus, and there's this girl that's oppressed. She's possessed by a demon. Paul and Silas recognize this, so they cast the demon out, and then the girl's slave owners recognize that their opportunity for making money is gone, so they have Paul and Silas arrested for this fact. So now Paul and Silas were trying to be faithful. They're trying to do what God is telling them to do. They're trying to listen to God, and yet they get into a situation now where, because of their faithfulness, they're being punished. Where because they were living for God, doing what God wanted them to do, they're being punished. So what did Paul and Silas do? I love this story because it shines a light on how we should handle tough times. What do? The Bible says that around midnight, Paul and Silas are in their jail cell and they're lifting up their voices in praise to God. And in that same act of defiant faith, they're lifting up their voices to say, God, I don't know how, but I trust you that you're going to be able to get me through this. And in the same way, in each of our lives, we trust God that he is going to be able to get us through. When life is hard, gratitude then transforms our despair into hope. It reminds us that God is working for our good, even in the darkest places that we go through. So that was point number one, that we give thanks because praise is an act of defiant faith. Point number two, we give thanks for family that is found in the body of Christ. Galatians chapter 4, as we were reading that this week, God called out this idea of adoption. It just jumped off the page at me to say that we were adopted into his family. And Galatians 4:4 says, when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. You see, we were on the outside, but God invited us in. And because of that, we find family inside of the body of Christ. One of the things that we like to say around here is that we are a family that is learning to love like Jesus, that we are growing closer to God as we grow closer to each other. And we firmly believe that around here. In fact, that's one of the main reasons that we're going to do the Thankful Feast in a little bit, is because it's good when family gets together. It's good when family gets to spend time together. And so we're going to do that right after service today. Galatians 6:2 says that we should carry each other's burdens. And this is what family does, isn't it? When we're part of a family and we go through a hard time, we gather around that family member because we love them, because we want to care for them, because we want to see them come, made whole again. And so we gather around those people. In fact, we've got a couple of long-term members who are going through a hard time right now. And we've watched, in fact, I've heard the stories of how people in this congregation, members, people that have been coming, even people that have only been coming for 6 months, 10 months, that have jumped in to say, how can I help? What can I do? How can I support? And that is an incredible thing. In fact, I was over at Ruth and Larry's this last week, and lo and behold, I'm sitting there, and I'm praying with them. I get done praying, I turn and look over my shoulder, and there's another one of our church members standing there because they were there to help winterize their house. Like, it's so cool to see the body of Christ come together, wrap their arms around people that are in need. James 5 says, Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church. Let them call the elders of the church, pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. When we get together with the body of Christ, we want to fellowship, we want to laugh, we want to have fun. But also, one of the things that God is calling each of us to do is to carry each other's burdens, to lift each other up in prayer, to be there for each other during the hard times. For some of you in here, this is a little bit more challenging. Maybe you're not seeing the benefits of this. But the truth is that we have to invest in community in order to be able to get something out of community, don't we? I mean, this is pretty obvious. People aren't going to notice you if you're not around when you're never around. So the more that you're coming, I say this every time I bring something like this up. I love you guys that are watching online right now. I love you. I love that we have this opportunity. I know that we have some people that are sick today. They can't make it for different reasons. And that is awesome that you are able to be here and watch with us online. But I think there's something special about being here. And I think there's something special about being able to rub elbows with other people, be able to talk to people. So if you're watching online, I said it in the announcement video, I'll say it again, there's still time to get down here and participate in the dinner, because it's just good for God's people to be together in fellowship. Amen? This is something that we thank God for, that he's given us this opportunity. So our thought then is, we give thanks for family that's found in the body of Christ. And the truth is that relationships grow through commitment, not through convenience. And so what we want to do then is we want to be a people that are building into investing in relationships when things are good, that you're looking for opportunities to serve people when you're doing pretty well. Because then when you're struggling, when you're having a hard time, it's nice to know, and we give thanks that the body of Christ can come around us and can lift us up. Now, what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to hear what I just said and think, well, I haven't been around, so I shouldn't reach out, right? Because as a body of believers, we want to love you. We want to wrap our arms around you. So if you're going through a hard time, make sure to fill out one of those prayer cards, because we want to pray for you. We want to lift you up. We've got a whole group of people that are praying every week for our prayer needs that come out. So if you need prayer today, if you're going through a hard time, make sure to fill out one of those prayer cards, and then you can drop it in one of our offering boxes on the way out today. And we want to lift you up. We want to pray for you. Our last thought today is that we give thanks for freedom that is found in Jesus. We give thanks for the freedom that is found in Jesus. Our first thought, We give thanks because praise is an act of defiant faith. That faith helps us to be able to take authority and to be able to know that God is with us. We give thanks for that. We give thanks for the body of Christ that wraps its arms around us in hard times. And then our last one, we give thanks for the freedom that is found in Christ Jesus. We are free from sin. We are free from shame. We are free from legalism. Amen? Because we are free, then we give thanks to God who set us free. We are not under the law, the Bible says, but we are under grace. In fact, Galatians chapter 2 said it like this. It said, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, He says it like this to say, I've been crucified with Christ. Now, the Bible says that we used to be under an old system. The Bible calls it the law. And there was this old way of doing things that said that we have to behave in a particular way. We have to do things in a certain way. And if we do those things, then we'll be saved. But it was like asking people to jump to the moon. It was like asking people, if you just work hard enough, you just try hard enough, you just, you know, you work out, you're doing squats every day, you're getting up to the point where you can squat, you know, 400, 500, 600 pounds. Maybe you're one of those, freak athletes that you can do even more than that. And you're doing it, you're putting in the work day in and day out. And you're like, okay, I've trained my entire life for this. Now all I got to do is one jump and I got to make it to the moon. And that's what the law was like for us. It was designed, it was purposely built to show us our shortcomings so that we would recognize that we needed a Savior. We would recognize that we needed somebody else to come and to show us the way to forgiveness because we couldn't do it on our own. We couldn't get there on our own. But the Bible says we've been crucified with Christ. In other words, the pain that he went through, the shame that he experienced, the death that he endured on that cross, he did it for you and he did it for me. I've been crucified with him. When he took on that punishment, I was there. I was on his mind and he was thinking about me. He took my place so that I could find freedom in him. This is such a powerful, powerful thought. We have been crucified with Christ. Our past has been washed away, and we are free to follow him. Amen. The Bible says then that we live now by faith in the Son of God. We fellowship by faith in the Son of God. When we come across trials in life, we know that we have the Son of God with us. All of these things are possible because of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. And for that, we give thanks today. Father God, we just lift up our voices right now. God, we just thank you for the freedom that we found in you. God, we thank you that you carry us through the trials of life. We thank you for a body of believers that gathers around us when we go through hard times. God, we thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to, in just a few minutes, we're gonna transition over to the fellowship hall. And you're going to see there's some placemats that were beautifully made, handmade, every single one of them. They were drawn. They weren't printed. They're incredible. And on them, there's a spot where you can list things that you're grateful for. There's a spot where you can list out the things. So they're made to be colored on. They're made to be drawn on. And there's a spot where you can list the things that you're thankful for. So I want you to be thinking about it. But before we do that, I've got somebody special, especially to Owen and I, that is going to come up in just a second, and she's going to share with us about the freedom that she's found in Christ. Because just like we experienced today when we had our baptismal candidates talking about how much God has done in their life, we know that God is changing lives. And so we're going to invite Jackie up here. Jackie is Owen's birth mom. She is his mom, and we love her so much. She's become part of our family, and we are just thrilled to see what God is doing in her life. So why don't you come on up here? Owen, do you want to come up too? Okay. This is Owen. Do you want to say anything? No? Okay. All right. Well, Jackie, Why don't you share with us what God's been doing in your life?
Okay, first let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share your glory, Lord. And I just pray that we open our ears to hear and open our eyes to see, Lord. And again, just let me step out of the way, Lord, and let you shine. And thank you again for this opportunity to share your glory. Amen. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so first I would like to share just a little bit of what I am free from. So in the beginning, I struggled with anger, PTSD, suicidal thoughts, mental, physical, sexual abuse, self-hatred, anxiety, depression, alcohol and drug addiction, self-sabotaging, homelessness, domestic violence, a lot of loss. I lost my mom in 99, my dad in 01. My husband was murdered in front of me in 2002. I lost my leg in 2011 and my sister in 2016. And sometimes God uses something very traumatic to have you come to him. And it took losing my son. But I didn't lose my son. But at that time, I thought I lost my son. So, but it's he saved my life. So, how I found freedom in Christ. Seeking God first was key in finding my freedom in Christ. God says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." Amen?
Amen.
I am so grateful to God for healing me in so many areas. I know the Lord in a new and beautiful way. I cope with stress differently than I used to. No more turning to drugs and alcohol or believing the lies of the enemy. Psalms 139:13-14 say, "This for you created in my most being, you knit me together in my mother's womb." And that meant a lot to me because I was, you know, told I was an accident. I wasn't an accident.
That's right.
Amen? Say amen?
Mm-hmm.
I hold the lies of the enemy captive and replace it with God's truth. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Every time I say it, I feel like it erases the lies of the enemy. It erases any of those what's wrong with me lies. Repentance shuts doors and brings freedom. I take responsibility for my own sin daily, repenting quickly brings much fruit in my life. The word says in John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Amen?
Amen.
Let's go. To keep my freedom in Christ today, I do what's called the 5+1 plan, and I try to do this daily. So the 5 is the Word, fellowship, communion, prayer, worship, and the +1 is declarations. I have a few declarations that I would like to share with you. I am filled with the Holy Spirit, and it is natural for me to exercise self-control. My past has no say in how much or how fast I can change. I am free forever from condemnation. I am complete in Christ. My PTSD is no longer post-traumatic stress disorder, but prayer, testimony, scripture, and declaration.
Amen.
Amen. I am really grateful for the Graham family because they always told me they wouldn't take my son from me, and I was so scared. I thought I would never see him again, and this family said what they meant and meant what they said, and I am truly grateful for the Graham family. Thank you so much. God bless you.
And we are incredibly grateful to have been a part of this story, to be able to be a part of your life. You know, it's such a beautiful picture of the way that God can restore things, both in her life and in our family, in bringing us together. God has a way of taking what's broken and making it beautiful. God has a way of taking the hard things in our life and turning them around into something glorious. God takes our tests and he turns them into testimonies. And so when we go through hard times and when we go through challenges in life, these are opportunities for us to give thanks. These are opportunities for us to raise our voice and to trust God and to believe God that he's got something that he wants to do in us. If I could have the worship team go ahead and join me, we're gonna sing that song Gratitude again one more time. And we're just gonna spend a couple minutes before we transition over. We're gonna have, you know, all sorts of food. It's gonna be glorious. We're gonna have lots of fun activities. But before we do that, we want to take this opportunity to worship God together and to give him thanks. So what I want you to do is, as we close today, let's be thinking about some of the things in your life, maybe that are the unusual blessings, right? You know that your car is making a weird noise, but you praise God for having a car anyway. You know that there's tension in your workplace, but you praise God for having a job. You know, those types of things. Let's try and think outside the box a little bit and pray and believe God for some of those unusual blessings that God bestows upon us. I want to read one more scripture to you guys, and then we'll worship together. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Why don't you guys go ahead and stand to your feet as we sing this together.